Hey, Chegger Crisis Podcast, hopefully soon to be renamed, as we're no longer talking about the Tiger King documentary. We're talking about whatever other documentaries are at heart and in my heart and things that I see. My name is Dan Frigolette. I'm a stand-up comedian. A lot of times I'm ranting and being speculative of what's happening in the world. Sometimes I'm smart. You decide. Send me an email, dan@tigercrisis.com. Today we're going to talk about a wonderful documentary created in 2017 called Delt. Delt is about Richard Turner, an incredible sleight of hand magician. That is a sleight of hand magician. That is like a card magician, somebody who can palm things. As Richard would tell it, he is a master mechanic of cards. That's how he does it. And so we open the documentary dealing with this guy, watching him do incredible tricks, watching him do these big stage shows that are meant to be sort of close-up magic with cards. And he sort of sets it up with two people on either side of him, and he does his whole shenanigans. It's my favorite word, if you haven't noticed on this podcast. The more we learn about Richard and how long he's been doing this thing, the more we start to realize how incredible and amazing and ridiculous he is. He's multifaceted, super talented, and has literally just perfected close-up magic, as they call it. But the thing Richard doesn't want you to know, and this is the main theme throughout the entire documentary, is that he has no sight. He has trouble with the word disabled. He has trouble with the word blind. He has trouble with the word handicapped. He doesn't want any of his accomplishments to be looked at and viewed. Horrible way to use words right now in the consideration of the fact that he's blind. He doesn't want anybody to know that he's blind and has anything to do with it. So you watch him do his stage act for the first 5-10 minutes of the documentary, even knowing from the preview that the man is blind, and you don't notice. Like, another one of the tricks that he's mastered is that he'll look in the direction of the person he's talking to, and it looks as though, even to the person, that he's talking to that person and making eye contact while that person talks, which is incredible. So he goes like an entire hour show without almost ever mentioning it and ever letting anybody notice that he is, in fact, lacking in sight. I don't know what other ways to do. I feel like I'm disrespecting the man if I call him blind, because he hates the idea so much. Matter of fact, his whole life has been based around the fact that losing his eyesight was not a thing. There are multiple stories throughout his childhood and high school when he basically was legally blind. He had macular degeneration, which at the time, 50, 60, 70. Like, I had no idea what was going on or how to label it or how to stop it. And so the center of his eye became basically a black dot that just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And so if you know anybody who has had this type of disease, this type of affliction, they have just the peripheral vision. So basically they can see a circular chunk of whatever's there. So sort of like anything off to the sides, like where a horse wears his blinders, that's where you can see. So there's a plenty of stories where he's completely like front of center blind, but he's still riding a motorcycle with people on the back, because he can look at the line of the motorcycle, check with his friends to see if there's anybody in front or to the sides of him, and just rip down the street on the motorcycle. So the guy, throughout his entire life, has had trouble admitting to anyone, including himself, that he was blind. Matter of fact, his son found out that he was blind somewhere in the vicinity of being like 7. He's like, tells this amazing story where, as when he was a child, he would always go on walks with his father, and his father would hold his hand. And to his son, it always appeared that his father was leading. And then he's 7 years old, and they're walking along, and you're short when you're 7, and his father's a tall individual, and they're walking, and they go underneath this sort of like tree that's like across the path that they're walking on, and his father runs dead into it with his forehead and gets knocked down. And then his son says to him, he says, "Hey, didn't you see that tree there?" And his father, who now has no vision whatsoever, just says, "Well, of course I saw that tree there," and just tried to carry on with his life. And sort of this is his son making the confession that at this point he sort of realizes that his father might not have sight, might not be able to see, which, again, it's so beautiful the way his son mentions it, too, because his son also doesn't want to say blind. So he says I realized that my father couldn't see, which is just, it's just really cute. It's just cute. So the thing that I think the documentary is missing in a lot of ways is the understanding of how magic functions, especially card magic and close-up magic. Because a big part of his career is this sort of reveal once the show's happening or when he goes on all of these like late-night programs or go on television or go on the news. And the second thing they ever mention after they see him do one trick is that he's blind. And then they have him do the trick supposedly is that the audience is supposed to be more impressed that he can't see the cards. But what I think the documentary maker didn't understand, or maybe he was just diluting for the ignorance of normal people, is how card magic works. Every time he flips over a card, him and a guy who can see, they know what's in their hand. They know what they're flipping over. So I think this one element was sort of neglected in the thing, was any of them explaining that being a dope card magician, close-up magician, mechanic, in its own right is awesome and is in a sense one of the only things that you could do super successfully having nothing to do with your vision. Again, not to take away anything from the skill of this guy. This guy is absolutely incredible. I grew up watching magicians. The first comedy club I ever performed in was a comedy magic club, so I would have like magicians in front of me doing magic duels. A buddy I grew up with spent most of his time figuring out how to do magic tricks so he could get girls. So it's an incredible, incredible skill. I mean, I watch the David Blaine things and I get impressed with all that stuff. And, you know, every time I watch one of these magic shows on television, I have some knowledge of what's happening. But the ability to do the sleight of hand business is absolutely incredible. Again, regardless of your ability to see. But I do think that the one thing that's missing is the understanding and the explanation to the audience that if you're good at this skill, sight is not relevant. Because you know every card that you're holding in your hand, every card that you're flipping. So back to Richard Turner's actual skill set. The guy has the ability to cut a card out anywhere from the deck. He knows where the card's at any point, and he knows how to sort of like, he can literally deal from the 32nd card in a deck of 52. Like, he can deal the third card from the top, the second card from the top, the ninth card from the top. He has this ability, and to make it look pretty much like he's dealing off of the top. This is the skill set of someone who is a card mechanic. This is the skill set of these people, is to manipulate the objects so that they always know where everything is. I can't explain to you as an audience how this is done. I can't make it make any more sense other than the fact that a good card magician with their eyes closed can do the exact same trick. But this extra layer, and this is what I think is funny about Richard, is the extra layer of him being blind and fooling the audience actually is the most incredible part. The fact that he lived his life as a person with sight, without having sight his entire life, is one of the most incredible parts. He married his wife without her knowing that he basically had no vision. I think that's kind of incredible. That may be the biggest trick he's ever pulled in his life, is this ability to function. Him and his sister, and I missed literally the split second where I could have found out in the documentary whether or not they were twins, but it appears that they're twins. They have the same degeneration. They both end up blind, and they both basically live their lives for like 20 years pretending that they can see. And it's a weird and incredible skill that you have to master. And there's just something really fantastic and scary and maniacal about it, because there's all these little things that you start to pick up on then as you watch the documentary. Like, he'll have his son come with him to a gig, and they'll be setting up the table and doing these sorts of things. And then there's a scene where they're walking back to the hotel, and he has his son carry the front of the table. He carries the back of the table, and because his by the effect of the fact that his son is in the front and they're crossing the street, he knows, much like a seeing eye dog, is that his son's not going to dart into traffic, since he has all of his senses. So he trusts his son when he's on the back of the table to sort of lead. And just like his son says about him, it's like he didn't realize until he was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old that he was leading his father, not the other way around. So there's something sort of amazing about that. We hop into the documentary at a point in Richard's life when he's been doing magic for like 30 years. One of the more other incredible things that it seems that he's accomplished in his life at that point in time was that he had gotten a black belt in karate. This was a man who really spent a lot of time trying to be fit and in shape and all of these things. Very good looking with his shirt off. Was absolutely just a specimen of a person, hard worker across the board. Just one of these highly functional people that would be almost good at anything. But if you know this, or if you don't know this, I'll tell you, the test I found out in the documentary to become a black belt is to fight 10 fresh fighters one at a time every 3 minutes with no breaks. And at this point in his life, he does the test, he basically has no vision. So halfway through the test, he catches a kick to the arm and he snaps the bone in his arm, and then just finishes the test. The last 5 guys with a broken arm. I'm going to sneeze, so I apologize. I'm not going to sneeze. If you rub your eye... I found this out from my grandfather. If you rub your eye when you have to sneeze, you can stop a sneeze. I don't know why you'd want to stop a sneeze, and now I know that if you're doing a podcast, it's a good time to stop a sneeze. So Richard Turner, an incredible sleight-of-hand magician. He's with so much esteem. He's a member of the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, which is basically like the, I don't know, it's the Comedy Cellar of magic, but better, because it's like a membership thing and you have to sort of be invited and you have to like maintain membership for years. So the guy's been doing magic for 30-35 years, ends up getting a black belt as a blind man. We come into his life at this point where he's sort of getting older, and not even in the sense that his eyesight has gotten any worse, in the sense that he's just becoming an older man. He now realizes in the documentary, while we're taking this journey with him, that he sort of maybe does need more help, and that he's maybe willing to admit that he is blind. And we come into his life when he's sort of saying goodbye to his son, because his son's going off to college, and we watch him and his sister basically deal with having to figure out how to function as blind people who are admitting that they're blind. But again, the story itself is just sort of magical in a lot of ways. And they spend a good amount of time, maybe not enough time, showing you him actually doing these incredible card tricks. And there's so many little anecdotes of like his work ethic and how he feels about magic and card manipulation. He actually doesn't even consider himself a magician in any way, because he understands all of the functions of magic and this and that. But he really, this idea that he can be holding on to these cards and manipulating them at all times and having complete control is the thing that attracts him to the art form. And the entire time we're in the documentary, we'll be watching him at home, we'll be watching him cooking, we'll be watching him laying down, watching him like at the beach, or watching him like cook dinner, or watching him take a shit. And every time he has the cards in his hand and he's manipulating them and he's doing the try cut with the one hand. If you guys have seen any close up magic type stuff, you can cut the deck with one hand and 3 chunks, and he's flipping the cards around and he's throwing them, and he's just a go-getter guy that sort of doesn't accept his losses. And it's one of these hopeful, incredible stories, kind of mixed with this weird, like, masculine delusion that if he admits that he's blind, that somehow he's weak and somehow his accomplishments don't mean anything. There were multiple clips of him being on television in the 70s and 80s on the news where he would get on the show and they would mention that he was blind, and you could see his face sort of wash over, and he would be like, I can't believe you fucking said that. And there's a story that he tells where he refuses to go on to like a major television program because they wanted that opening scene, like every other thing, like The Voice, like America's Got Talent, like American Idol. They want that scene. They want you to come in all fucked up. They want you to come in like with all of your crap, like front and center. They want you to come in with a picture of your grandmother around your neck who died, and that's why you sing. They want you to come in with your medical bracelet and your head shaved, fresh from a cancer bout. That's what they want on these shows. They want that heartfelt moment and that thing. And so they asked them on one of these shows to come in with a seeing eye stick or cane or whatever. And he refused to do it, and he was offended by the notion that they would ever even ask him to do that, because his accomplishments have nothing to do with him being blind, and they shouldn't be held in that esteem. I think one of the things that he said in the documentary was he doesn't agree with the premise that handicapped equals special or something to the effect that he doesn't agree with the like, if you're handicapped and you can do something, that somehow it's a greater accomplishment. It should be an equal esteem accomplishment, and that's how he holds his ability. But one of the anecdotes I didn't get to is this idea that Richard Turner practices 16 hours a day with cards, and then there's a guy on there who's a colleague and a magician, and says there's no way that anybody could be practicing 16 hours. Like, it's absurd that anybody would even say that, write that in a book, put that in an article. And then again, like I said, we're watching Richard and he's taking a dump while shuffling cards. And so 1,000%, and his colleague admits it, that for sure 16 hours is happening, and or an understatement. There's like all these like stories of him as a child where they're all hanging, like him and all his friends are hanging out, and he's like shuffling cards while they're watching TV in two hands, and he's like doing the single-handed shuffle thing, and then he falls asleep and the cards stop. And then the next morning the cards start going again for a couple minutes, and then he opens his eyes. His friend is astonished with the idea that his cards and his hands started before he opened his eyes. He's already doing tricks before he wakes up, which is incredible. But to me, that's not actually the craziest thing to believe. You know, I think we're all sort of in that state where, you know, I don't know if you're like addicted to your phone, like I am. I'm already checking my Instagram before I open my eyes. I'm already on there. I'm already logged in. I'm already thumbed in before my eyes open. Matter of fact, I'll be one eye open and then my phone won't recognize my face. So Richard Turner, in this documentary, and this is another moment to talk about documentary filmmaking and one of the things that I enjoy. When a documentary filmmaker uses the interviews that he creates, him or her, creates in the discussion as the only point of storytelling, I love that. I've seen some stuff recently. There was one documentary about Amazing Jonathan. It's actually called The Amazing Jonathan Documentary. This might turn into an episode later, but where the documentary filmmaker gets all caught up in the situation and the story, and he finds out the guy in the documentary that he's making is having another documentary made about him at the same time as he's making this documentary about The Amazing Jonathan, and he gets so upset that he's like telling Weird Al Yankovic, and he's telling other, like Penn and Teller, he's telling these guys in the interview process and filming it and putting it in the documentary that he's offended that another documentary is being made, and the documentary ends up being about the filmmaker instead of the person the documentary is about. So when the documentarian, let's call them, I know that's probably actually the word, I don't know why I said let's call them that, when they're so far removed from the discussion and from the meddling, that's the magic in itself for a documentary, because it makes you watch the thing, it makes you hear the thing, and it makes you like completely forget about the fact that there is an agenda being pushed here, even in the smallest way, right? Like, you could have easily done the Delt documentary and made Richard look like an asshole if that's what you wanted to do. So in the smallest way, we can tell from watching this that there's an admiration from the documentary filmmaker for the Richard Turner character, for his family, for his ability, for his desires, for his the way that he holds himself to an esteem. Like, there's another documentary about the big gay bookstore that happens in Los Angeles, and same kind of thing. The documentary is sort of filled with the fact, and sort of tarnished by the implication that the filmmaker is the daughter of the person that the documentary is about. So it gives it both this heartfelt kind of thing, but then it also feels like, okay, well, how, you know, you couldn't give us an unabashed, unbiased version of this story anyway, because you're not going to go against your parents and you're not going to make it look like your life was any sort of like weird thing. So back to this one, Delt, the filmmaker stays the hell away, lets Richard and his family do all the talking. Some of the talking is from the esteem of people nearby. We watch some life events for Richard and so on and so forth. We see this rerun of the black belt thing. Richard says that his greatest accomplishment was gaining the black belt. And then he got covered in the LA Times for getting this black belt and for this amazing accomplishment, but never showed anybody the article because it mentions in the article that he's blind. So in a lot of ways, this is a very, very high functioning and incredible, brilliant, talented, like unbelievable character whose ability, talent, and skill set almost come from a fear of being found out and a shame of being, let's call it, hard of sight in my quest to continue to remove the word blind. Being hard of sight is something that he's ashamed of and he doesn't want anybody to know. And in a way, that shame has created an incredible artistry. I think the greatest thing about Richard Turner is his ability to function without the help of any other, like, he has no, at the end of the documentary, we see him sort of getting suited with a seeing eye dog. But up until that moment, he's lived his entire life without any assistance and just sort of like going off of other people. It's like, that's the other thing I think the documentary should have spent some more time on. I want to know the little tricks. I want to know, and I know it's hard for Richard to admit all the things that he was involved in, but I want to know the little tricks that he used for so many years to make it so that people did not know that he was blind. His sister, the same thing. His sister's story was that she got into a situation where her husband was in the hospital for like a week, and she couldn't now function on her own without having people know that she was blind. But up until that point, she was using her husband and other people around as the crutches to be able to accomplish her goals and not let anybody know that she was blind. So it's this strange confusion, shame, and I don't know, pride in a way, of these two individuals of trying their best to try and maintain normal functionality. Meanwhile, nothing about Richard Turner is normal. The guy is an absolutely incredible, fantastic performer. The ability that he has to, we've seen blind people and sort of their inability to control what direction they might be looking or what their eyes are doing, and some sort of gyration that's happening with people that are hard of sight. And Richard mastered the ability to captivate his own eyeball, pointed in the direction of a voice that he's hearing, do all of the mechanics of the card tricks, you know, within the confines of like understanding what deck is which, where the cards will be at all times, even when he takes his hands off of them, doing this incredible show and never letting on that he has this other function or skill set. I'm going to call it a skill set. I'm going to use being blind as a skill set in this particular fashion, because in a lot of ways, being blind and all of these things drove Richard to be the greatest card mechanic maybe there is. There's a hopeful ending to the whole thing, because there is these moments, like I said, he's being fitted for a seeing eye dog and going through the motions of trying to figure out how that process works. Same thing with his sister. By the time we meet his sister in the documentary, she is already not given up, but admitted to her position in life and gotten herself a seeing eye dog and is now trying to push Richard in the same direction. And the end of the documentary is Richard creating a one-man show that is about him being blind, and that there's something hopeful and nice and fun about even that moment, because he spent his life 30 years, 40 years doing this act that didn't ever acknowledge. And everybody who knows magicians will know that they're some of the corniest people on the planet, to their credit, and the hilarity of being a corny magician is incredible, and it's super enjoyable, and there's nothing like more fun than just a weird, corny magician. And now that Richard has a show where he admits that he, in the first 3 minutes, that he has no vision, he then, like, gets a waterfall of these incredible puns and ridiculous jokes that he can now make about being blind, eyeballs, this and that, all these puns that magicians love, that he can now use. So there was this vibrant, fun, fresh, incredible, new aspect to his one-man show, because he's doing all the incredible things and he knows how to do all the mechanic things, all the things that wow and woo and wah people, giving someone a card that they know is the Ace of Diamonds, and he hands it to them, and then they look at it and it's the Three of Clubs and all this stuff that blows people's pants off when they do close-up magic, myself included. And I've stood there with friends who are magicians who do close-up magic in Times Square and watch people freak out, and it's an incredible thing to see, and it just confuses your brain. I mean, anytime you've ever seen a magic trick where you got three cups and there's a shell and a thing, and all of a sudden there's five shells, or they left the thing and every one of them has a thing, but you only knew there was one shell in play. Now there's 50. Like, point being, this stuff is, it confuses your brain, and there's a really fun, almost like being scared is fun. There's that thing where you just don't know what's happening. And so Richard has all of those skills, all of that in his arsenal. And then now with his new show, he has another line of things that he can make jokes about, where he can make all these puns about, seeing cards before the people that he's doing the tricks on. So there's something really fun and hopeful about the thing, and it just makes me want to see him now more in his this point in his life than before. And the end also is us seeing him win this close-up magician's award that we watch him not win 2-3 years in a row, maybe by the time we deal with the whole thing. But all in all, Delt is an incredible documentary that I would highly recommend. Like I said, I think if I knew very little or much less about magic, then I would have a much different opinion, and I would be much more impressed, and I would leave probably with more of the idea that Richard doesn't want me to have, which is it's so incredible that he's blind and can do this stuff. For me, I know that the skill set doesn't take eyes, it takes the ability to manipulate and understand and know where things are and be able to cut a deck and be able to take a third card instead of a first card and make it look like it's a first card. Obviously, having vision probably would help you figure out, but even as a magician who has vision, you still have to figure out what it would look like from the other side. And that's just a brain thing, and that's just a manipulation thing, and that's just an understanding how card tricks works thing. Just like any other illusion, is if somebody is in the correct position, that they can't see the strings, the mirrors, the lights, which, again, that's an old idea. And I'm sure magic at some point was doing strings and mirrors and things, but very much not a thing anymore. That's like the most simplistic version of magic. But if they're in the right position, then you can't see what's really happening. And Delta is the story of Richard Turner, one of the greatest car mechanics there is. And it's told well. Highly recommend it. Check it out. This is the Tiger Crisis Podcast, soon to be renamed. Thank you for listening and watching. My name is Dan Frigolette. I'm on Instagram at Dan Frigolette. I have another podcast called Porn Stars Are People, where we dive into adult film actor and actresses and don't talk about porn. Thank you for listening and watching.